My mother was a hamster. I'm Cassie.
And my father smelt of elderberries, Matt.
And welcome to You Haven't Seen This, a podcast where this sibling duo talks about movies that only one of them has seen.
And today, we are bringing you back even further. We took you back to the 80s with our past two movies. And we're going all the way back to 1975 to check out Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes, so this is a movie that Matthew has seen and I have not, keeping with our pattern. So I guess I just want to throw it to you first. What are your experiences with this movie?
Gosh, I've seen it a few times. You know, it's one of the sort of classic older comedies. It's one of the few, Monty Python's one of the few, like, real British comedies that I feel really sticks in the culture as, like, an American, because British humor is, I enjoy, but it is very, very its own specific thing. Yeah, I've seen this a couple of times. It tends to be one of those, like, we're at a party. I think last time I saw it, it was at, like, a New Year's party or something late, and we were all just a little out of it, and, like, the party was winding down. We were like, let's just put something on that's kind of stupid and fun to watch, and we just had a good time. So that is my experience with this movie in particular, Monty Python as a whole. What do you know about this going in?
I have a very specific memory of this movie, and it is not good. So, what I can remember about this movie is it must have been you or Dad watching it, and I was little. I don't think I was more than 7. I was probably more like 5 or 6 years old. I was young. That's the point I'm trying to make. And I was walking by, I either walked into a room or I walked by a room where the door was open, and one of you guys was sitting in the room watching this movie. And it got to the part in the forest where the two knights are dueling, and I happened to walk in just as the Green Knight got the sword thrown in his face, and it freaked me out so bad that I left the room in a panic and, like, was so, like, scared the rest of the day because just the image of seeing, like as a very young kid, the image of seeing someone getting a sword thrown into their face was just so jarring and scary for me that that's the only thing I knew about this movie for just, like, so long. Then I kind of started to hear some jokes being used and kind of understand that those jokes were from this movie. But for the majority of my life, the only thing I knew about this movie is the absolute fear and panic I felt when I saw that poor guy get stabbed in the face. So those are my thoughts.
So one of the all-time classic comedy movies, your experiences. This was a horror movie.
Yeah, it invoked a trauma response in me.
Your first experience was like, huh, my dad really is just watching a snuff film right there.
Yeah, I was like, wow, okay, this is not for me. You know when you have those experiences as a kid where you walk in to something that's a little bit more mature, like they're swearing or there's violence or something, and you just, like, you innately understand that this is something that is not for you? That was me with this movie, just because of that scene with the sword.
Jeez. I think if you were, like, 6, I would have been about 10, which might have been the first time I saw this movie, so that also may have been me, so I'm sorry in retrospect.
I mean,
here's my apology 13 years later.
I mean, I think I'm a grown-up now. I think I will be able to handle the, you know, little amount of gore there is in this movie, and we'll be able to more so hopefully appreciate the comedy and the rest of the movie. And when it comes to that scene, I'll just be like, I'm a grown-up now. It doesn't terrify me anymore.
You'll be able to understand this is a comedy and not, like, faces of death.
It's not a slasher film.
Yeah, this isn't Jason.
Yeah, you know Monty Python, the famous slasher movie. Yeah, that's what we're watching today.
Famous horror film. Exactly. Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah. But I mean, besides that, I mean, I've heard a bunch of jokes just like in my family, like being used that I have like, I guess like kind of deduced her from this film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like get them. I mean, I get them as a joke, but I don't know like where they come up in the movie, in what part of a conversation they're a part of. I don't really get it. So excited to find out.
Yeah. Monty Python stuff is great because a lot of it is, it's very just absurdist comedy a lot of the time. So even having no context, I'm sure you'll have a little context. That's basically the context you need.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that I'm totally out of the loop. I'm just like, I can't say I know exactly why you're saying this.
You'll be able to put a visual to it and get the, like, three jokes. What I'm saying is it's like, it's not like a stand-up set where there's a story you missed and now it's an inside joke. It's basically, it's set up and punchline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. That's kind of it for our intro with this movie. Matthew enjoyed it. This movie traumatized me as a child, so we're going to revisit it, and hopefully I have a different experience.
We'll take a quick break, go on a little quest for the Holy Grail, and we will be right back.
Alrighty, folks, we are back. We did it. We found the Holy Grail. It's currently sitting in my room, collecting a little bit of dust, but we found it.
You really need to sweep in there.
I do, but I'm just, school is kind of busy right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. Yeah. Valid.
You know, things happen. But yeah, we are back. We watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and I am happy, I'm very happy, in fact, to announce that I am not re-traumatized.
We watched the version of this movie that is a comedy and not, you know, a horror film.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm so glad we got the right copy. I was worried when we put the DVD in, and by DVD I mean streaming.
Exactly. Exactly. You know how Netflix will have, like, the different thumbnails based on, like, what you like? I was glad that it seemed like we got the comedy thumbnail and not the slasher, gory Jason Nightmare on Elm Street version of this film that six-year-old me remembered.
We didn't get the version of Monty Python with Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, I'm very glad. Very glad that they had that one on Netflix. But yeah.
Alrighty. So, moment of truth. I had fun. Cassie, what were your thoughts on Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
I had fun too. I liked the movie. It was good. It was like, from like the very start, it was like a lot of jokes in quick succession. When we started watching the movie, of course I didn't know it. So I was like, okay, why are we watching the credits? Like the opening credits. Because I know that sometimes you, like when we're in like a theater, you're like, no, I want to, you know, stay, watch the credits, you know, film kid, want to, you know.
Yeah, that's the film school graduate in me being like, which one of those is my friends?
Exactly. It's like, yeah, I want to stay and stuff like that. But I was like, oh, come on, man. It's the credits. We don't have to watch it. And then there were the subtitles that then turned into a tourism advertisement for Sweden and then into a harrowing tale of someone getting attacked by a moose.
Moose bites can be pretty nasty, you know.
That's what I learned from this film. It's also an education. But yeah, so it was just jokes in quick succession and just generally about the film. That's what I really liked about it. It was just very rapid fire jokes. There wasn't like any dull moments or anything without a joke or a visual gag or something like that. It was just like anytime the movie is happening, something funny is happening. And I like that. I had a good time. Yeah, what about you upon rewatch? I don't know when this New Year's party was that you watched it last, but upon rewatching it this time, what did you think again?
It's been a couple years since I rewatched it. I'm kind of the opposite of you. I did like it. I did have fun, had a good ride, you know. Watching a comedy back, it's always a little weird of like, oh no, here's this joke coming up. You know, the surprise is gone, but the anticipation is there, so it's always a different experience. But I was actually surprised at how, like, slow the movie felt at times.
Really?
Yeah, it felt, you know, obviously kind of, you know, that British style of humor is a lot drier and a lot more just kind of deadpan, even like Monty Python, which is super zany. So there were, like, some times where I'm, like, where it just felt like we were taking a while to almost, like, get to the punchline or get to the next joke. Not in a bad way, but just in the kind of, we're letting it breathe, we're letting kind of the absurdity of, like, this vast, beautiful landscape, and then it's, you know, one dude clip-clopping with coconuts, like, coming into frame. We're letting that kind of hang for a bit. It felt like the beginning was great, but I don't know, for me, it wasn't until almost, like, the second half that I feel like it really, like, got its feet under it, and, like, everything was fantastic. There were a couple bits in, like, the first half that I was like, huh, okay. It was a little rockier, but it was still a fun ride.
Mm-hmm.
I felt overall the second half was the really strong one. So that's, like, Lancelot on.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we got different opinions on that.
Still liked it. Thought it was great. It's not that I thought the first half was bad. I just kind of felt it was, you know, maybe not as good. Although there are still some of, like, the more iconic bits in that first one.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you get the coconuts?
Yeah, that was, I can't even say if I have, like, a favorite part. Like, it was just, like, there were all, like, different types of jokes and stuff like that, and I really appreciated them. One thing that I kind of generally throughout the film enjoyed was that, like, when there was kind of a part where a joke was played over and over, it was always, like, changed, so mm-hmm. it wasn't, like, dull or repeating itself. Like, when it was, like, I can think of, like, when they're trying to cross the Bridge of Death
mm-hmm.
and they're doing the questions, how first it's like, oh, it's really easy questions and it gets across. And the second one, it's two easy questions and then an actual question.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one, it's like, he asks an easy question and he gets it wrong. And then the fourth one, the guy asking the questions gets the question wrong. And he gets thrown into the pit. And so it was always like, it was like, just when I was like, okay, I got it. This next one isn't going to be as funny because I get the pattern now. It got changed, so it stayed funny.
And that's that good comedy. It's all those little inversions that keep it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a great one. And also because the last bit builds. Towards the end, I think part of why towards the end, I was enjoying stuff towards the end a little more is, like, that scene builds on the, like, swallow and coconut bit that's been kind of running through the film. Mm-hmm. And that happens a lot, you know, because it's very well structured. So, like, in the first half of the film, it's, like, jokes that wind up being setups for, like, bigger jokes in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the very, very end, how there's the little, like, subplot of the history, like, Richard Attenborough type who gets, like, or no, David Attenborough.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Attenborough is the actor. David Attenborough is the Planet Earth guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who, like, gets killed, like, in the first act randomly. And then it keeps cutting back to these, like, modern police cops investigating him. And then at the very end, as they're about to charge, the squad car pulls up and arrests them.
Yeah.
And, like, that, and that's just how the movie ends. There's no, like, send-off. There's not even credit. It's just like, all right, pack it in. And it's like, okay, that's your lot. We're done. We're done here.
Yeah. I definitely, I'm not sure how I felt about the ending. I thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was kind of absurd that it just ended so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It was just like, I didn't love it, didn't hate it.
That's a hard one to pull off because it's like, the joke is that, like, they don't get... The joke is kind of, like, it's unsatisfying by design.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, you want to criticize it for being an unsatisfying ending, but also, like, the point is, like, we build up... you know, we build up, we're gonna get the Holy Grail, and we have one last challenge, and we've got this, like, huge army with us. Mm-hmm. And then, like, squad car pulls up, we arrest, you know, King Arthur, and we just end it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no point on it, there's no... You know, at that point, it's like, there really is no point, like, belaboring it, so it's probably... It probably would be even weaker if they tried to, like, wrap it up after that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a weird ending. Because mm-hmm. it is just like, huh. Okay, that's just how it ends. Not even any credits because they're all in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. With the moose attack. And yeah.
Yeah. Those fights can be pretty nasty.
They can be, yeah.
That's one of my favorite jokes. I love just the absurdity of, like... These just progressively more and more insane subtitles.
Yeah. And then they talked about how... And then, like, in the credits, it's, like, moose handler, antler care.
And then it's, like... It's, like, it's just the subtitles, and then it goes to, like... Well, you apologize. You know, the people doing these credits have been sacked. And then it comes back, and it's trying to be normal. But then the credits themselves are more, like, absurd and playing into this joke.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's, like, they've been sacked again. It's fine. And then I think it shows back and it does something crazy and it's like, okay, no, here we go. And then it's a complete random that doesn't fit with anything. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did you think of our little Camelot song, which was, I guess, a preview for Monty Python's Spamalot, the musical?
Absolute banger. That's Men Only Want One Thing, and it's that. I mean, I was like, this is what I want me and my homies to be like. This is, you know, they're like, it's a silly place, but I was like, it seems kind of lit to me.
Truly.
I liked that. I have not, even though I am a recovering theater kid, I never saw Spamalot or really, like, knew anything about it. So I think that might be, I don't know if having watched Holy Grail will add to my... If I do watch that in the future, if it will add to my enjoyment of that play.
I also have never seen Spamalot. I just thought it was funny that it's like, oh, hey, here we are now.
So that one's not going to be on the podcast because neither of us have seen it.
For a while.
Unless one of us sees it in secret without the other.
Yes.
So.
Which is how I'm watching all my movies now.
Yeah.
Every time I'm watching something, it's like, I can't tell Cassie I've watched this until I finish.
Exactly.
We don't watch things. We watch two kinds of things. It's movies for this podcast and YouTube.
Yeah.
Which brings us into our next ad for our new podcast, YouTube You Haven't Seen.
We're gonna go back to the drawing board on that one.
The podcast episodes are all 15 minutes long, and it's just, it's a Fine Bros react. It's Fine Sibs react to...
I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for a secondary podcast.
Well, listeners, if you like my idea, smash that like and subscribe button and get in the comments. Which you totally can on a podcast.
I would like to apologize for his behavior, just on behalf of You Haven't Seen This Limited.
You Haven't Seen This LLC.
I would just like to apologize for his how you say it, cringe behavior.
Oh, you think I'm cringe?
I don't think I know.
I'm so offended.
As you should be.
This podcast is over.
So, you know, now that you have sit through our sibling conflict,
I found it so interesting in this movie how men will literally go on a quest for the Holy Grail instead of going to therapy.
I want you to elaborate on that point.
It's just the plot of the movie.
I need you to elaborate more.
I don't know if I have anything more to elaborate on.
Just a thinly veiled comment on the male psyche.
Yeah. I'm sure King Arthur needs therapy. Being king is hard.
I mean, I think we all do.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's special for doing that.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Hi. Are you considering giving up your kingly title to go clomp around in the wilderness looking for magical enchanted artifacts? Have you considered calm? Hi.
Oh, yeah. No, but yeah. They had their own problems, but they banded together and they tried their best. Did they succeed in their goal? No, but sometimes it's not about the end goal. It's about the friends we made along the way.
Yeah.
It's about the knights we added to our round table around the way.
And then swiftly had murdered by a terrifying bunny.
Yeah.
Or arrested by the police.
Mm-hmm. Or just, yeah.
Chucked into a bog because they couldn't answer
what their favorite color was. Or the capital of Assyria.
Yeah, simple trivia questions.
Yeah. Do you know what the capital of Assyria is?
No, because Assyria hasn't been, like, a country for a couple thousand years.
I figured.
That's Assyria, like, with an A, by the way. I'm aware there's an actual Syria.
Yeah. I was like, what is the capital of Assyria? And then I was like, I don't think it's a country anymore.
No, it's not.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's not. It's not a place on the map anymore. But yeah.
I'm going to be real with you, listeners. I'm going to lean in for a second. It's hard trying to talk about a comedy. Especially one like Monty Python, where it's just like, oh, what do you even say about this?
Yeah.
The jokes are great, but, like, you kind of have to see them to believe them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you say if you had to choose, like, a favorite kind of joke? What do you think it would be?
Yeah, what are, like, my favorite bits? I think the French taunters are great. I think the way they're used is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so silly.
Mm-hmm.
It's so silly. It's so British, and it's just anti-French bias.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just perfect because it comes out of nowhere and tells you instantly, like, what kind of movie it is. Mm-hmm. Which is why I'm always surprised it's like a third of the way into the movie.
Because
mm-hmm. to me, it's like the quintessential, you know, Holy Grail joke. And then when they pop back up at the Grail Castle, and then they're not mentioned at all, and they pop back up at the Grail Castle at the end, and it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, not these guys.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think the strongest bit, like I said earlier, is when they all break off Lancelot's little bit of sort of rushing into the castle during the wedding and saving the very theatrical prince.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best bit of the movie, because I feel like a lot of the other ones don't necessarily have a good, like, arc to them.
Mm-hmm.
A good, like, almost, you know, they're like little mini stories, like, you know, like in Arthurian romance, like that. It's like, each of these chapters should be its own, like, little mini story. And I think that's the only one that really has a solid, like, arc to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's a problem, we set it up, there's a complication, and then it kind of resolves in an interesting, weird way.
Mm-hmm.
While still being very, very, very silly.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I liked, like I mentioned before, I liked The Man on the Bridge. I liked that. Mm-hmm. I liked that section. I liked the Unladen Swallow. I liked the swallow and the coconut. I liked that it kind of ran throughout. I thought that was good. Let's see. Oh my gosh, I just had another one, but it is out of my mind now. It'll come back to me. Or maybe it won't.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell. That is the truth. Oh, holy hand grenade. That was it.
Oh, yes. The holy hand grenade is great.
It's pretty good. I liked the instructions, how just specific they were. I also liked that...
How it's written in that very, like, King James kind of say it and then sort of repeat it over, but then, of course, going to absurdity.
Mm-hmm. And as someone who reads the King James version of the Bible, I was like, yeah, I'm getting this. Yep, this is it.
You're like, yeah, that's how it's written.
You're like, mm-hmm, yep, mm-hmm. I got that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I liked that. And just the fact that it was a bunny was just this terrible, awful creature.
The evil rabbit, I love it.
Yeah. How you're like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? And then he just levitates between all of the people and just, like, tearing arms off. Like, taking a chunk out of their neck. Like, that was pretty good.
So great.
That was really good.
Oh, that also has the best character. There are some who call me
Tim. That was wonderful, because you look at him and you're like, oh, he's gonna be like Glorbo the Wise. Like, he's gonna have like a name like that.
Oh my god, Gloop Shinnoh. My favorite Star Wars character.
Yeah, you think he's gonna have like a name like that, and then you're just like, sup man, my name's Kyle. Like,
okay, my next D&D character was just gonna be a sorcerer named Tim. Now it's a sorcerer named Glorbo the Wise.
Yeah, but as a nickname, they call me Tim. It's like how people call, like, people named Margaret, they call him Peggy sometimes, how it doesn't make sense. That's what you're gonna be. That's what your D&D character's gonna do.
How do you get that?
I don't know, man. But then you're gonna have to explain how you get Tim from
Glorbo. You ask nicely? That doesn't work in this context.
It doesn't. No, but yeah, that was a good bit, too. And also, he was just truly choosing violence against those rocks, because they're trying to have a conversation with him, and he's like, nah, man, gotta blow things up.
The absurdity of just the number of fireballs.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're used as punctuation. Like, not even periods, just commas.
Yeah, commas, dashes, yeah, interrobang, yeah, all those.
Semicolon.
Yeah, 100%. Just anytime there is a, not even when there's a pause. Just there's something, boom, fire.
Dear copy editors, the only correct way to use a semicolon is as an explosive device.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a war movie, and it's just so many semicolons. It's a war novel, and there's just an absurd number of semicolons.
Man, the opening to Saving Private Ryan looked like Ulysses. Just
the second half of All Quiet on the Western Front is just...
was an Emily Dickinson poem. Just every M dash.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I liked it. I just generally enjoyed, like, the camp of it. Like, the... how, like, when they would travel through the forest, they galloped. And they, like, dismounted their horses. And, like, all that stuff. I loved the extremely long song about Sir Robin running away. I thought that was hilarious.
It just continues on. They've been singing it 4 miles.
I love that. Let's see. What were other little bits? I mean, I kind of liked all of it. That's the thing. Like, there weren't any parts where I'm like, man, this really dragged, or, like, this was, like, not good, it didn't, like, hold up. Like, all of it still holds up, it's all still funny, it's campy and cheesy, and, like, but also, like, dry, and it's just a good, funny movie. I do think that if I were to watch it again, though, I would probably have the experience that you were talking about, how there's no surprise anymore, it's anticipation, mm-hmm. because you know what the joke is going to be,
yeah.
or at least you have an idea of kind of what you remember it might be like. Mm-hmm. So I guess if I were to watch it again, which you probably will, I guess I'll just have to see how my experience differs, be cognizant of that. I'd also be interested in watching more Monty Python things. I liked this. I think I'd like to watch more of these. Because they have, like, more movies and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, they have... This isn't their first movie, technically, but the one before this was, like, kind of just a bunch of skits from the show. Mm-hmm. Life of Brian is the other one that I actually haven't seen either. Mm-hmm. So, if you get to it first, maybe that's the sequel to this episode.
Maybe the sequel. Yes. And then do they have, like, because I've heard, like, other, like, skits and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like...
and then the show Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Oh, okay.
Was... a sketch show, you know, back in the 70s forever.
Okay. I wasn't really sure where, like, just, like, Monty Python, like, came from. I didn't know if they just did movies or where they're... Because I've, like, heard, like, other stuff. Like, my dad, like, our dad... Let me just protect his honor right there. He always mentions, like, the Spam... one, and he says it's Monty Python, and I'm like, okay, but, like, where's it from?
Yeah, that bit's from the show.
Okay, that makes sense. Look at me, I'm learning. It's an educational podcast.
She's learning.
I'm learning. You learned me something.
Yes. Have you had any experience with, like, King Arthur in other, like, media, with the story and other stuff?
I think... I think I'd probably heard about King Arthur and the Round Table, but I'm not sure we ever covered it in, like, any of, like, my history or my social studies classes in school. We may have, but I honestly don't think we did. My history class this semester is up through 1500, so maybe we'll talk about it, but also my next midterm is due, like, next week. My last midterm's due next week, so I'm not sure how much farther in history we're gonna get.
So this tells me a lot that you're thinking, oh yeah, not in any of my history classes, which is, like, so, like, 90% of historians are like, King Arthur was never real.
Hey, man.
It would have been in your lit class, if anything.
Hey, man, I never said I was that smart.
No, but it's fine. You see something vaguely medieval, you're like, maybe this was real, I don't know.
Yeah, man, we never talk about medieval things. I've been to a medieval times, but that's kind of it.
Also, you watched this movie and was like, look, if there's any historical accuracy here, it's flown out the window.
Exactly. But besides other King Arthur media, I feel like I maybe read, like, there might have been, like, a Magic Treehouse book about this, because I know I read those as a kid.
Yeah, that, oh yeah, you're just reminding me the, like, second arc or something was, like, Morgan Le Fay was a huge character. In that, who you're looking at me blankly, because I know she's in the Arthur mythos, you haven't, but she wasn't in this movie.
Yep.
There was a lot of King Arthur and Camelot stuff later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in terms of other media, I think the only thing that I can really remember actually reading... was, and I don't know if it was exactly a King Arthur thing, but I used to work at a children's museum, and we had a section that was kind of all about, like, different shapes and, like, specifically, like, circles, and, like, where you can find different shapes in the real world, and why, you know, just, like, shapes are important, and what function do they serve in everyday life, and stuff like that. And I remember we had a bunch of books about, like, for all different age levels about, just, like, shapes and stuff like that. And I think we probably had a Knights of the Round Table book. And I feel like I probably read at least part of it to a kid. But I think that's, like, the most... As you can tell, I don't have a lot of experience with King Arthur.
That's kind of fascinating. I guess you were... Well, you would have been, but I guess BBC Merlin kind of passed you by.
Yeah.
You were a Sherlock girl.
I was, yeah. But we don't need to bring that up. But yeah, so I don't have a lot of understanding of, like, King Arthur and Camelot and the Knights of the Round Table, as you can tell, because I thought he was a historical person. But Yeah, I guess it's like it just was never something that was covered in school and nothing that was in the TV or the books that I consumed as a child. So I went into this and was like, cool story, kind of recognize it. I'm here for the jokes, man.
Interesting, interesting.
Make me laugh.
Interesting.
Yeah. What about you?
I've read a couple different versions of like the Arthur lore. Part of the problem with Arthurian mythos is like it is absolutely insane. It's so huge and there was never anyone, you know. These are getting written down in like the 1100s, so there's no like one entity being like, actually that's not canon, that's not lore, so people just make stuff up and throw it in.
Mm-hmm.
However, so I've read a couple versions of it. I've read a couple of like reimaginings of it. There's a really great YA series, I forget what the series is called. The first book is called The Guinevere Deception by Kirsten White. Fantastic YA book that is kind of like a retelling from different Guinevere perspective, who's Arthur's queen, which I keep having to explain because I keep remembering, oh, these characters aren't in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Any woman who's in the Arthur mythos, and there aren't that many, wasn't in this movie.
Yeah, it definitely was. I was like, there are a lot of dudes in this movie. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that, of course, but I'm like, I haven't seen a woman for a while.
No, yeah. Yeah, no, I had that moment too of just like, there are like no women in this movie. And then you go to the Castle Anthrax with Galahad and you're like, oh, that's where they all are.
Ah, that's where they're keeping them. Gotcha.
We found the castle of all the women in this movie.
Yeah, all of the women just throughout Britain. They're just all here.
Yep.
Just vibing.
Yeah, so yeah. I've read a bunch of versions. I watched Sword in the Stone, the Disney movie, for my Disney rewatch, and I don't plan to rewatch it
because
it wasn't that good. Hot take. But yeah.
Maybe it's because I was maybe a little bit of a PBS kid, but every time you said Arthurian or Arthur, I did think about Arthur the Aardvark.
Oh,
and I just want to apologize.
Dang it. The show's over. I can't pitch the script of King Arthur as in the Mark Brown Aardvark. Dang it.
Oh, man.
All right. I'm revitalizing this IP by myself.
You're like, someone's gotta write it, and by my goodness, it's gonna be me.
This is a feature movie.
Feature.
Yeah.
You have your other feature that you've been working on, you're really proud of. You just rip it in half and you just go to town on your Arthur the Aardvark as King Arthur from Camelot.
This is the sequel to Green Knight. It's exactly the same style. Oh, but it's animated.
Oh dear.
It's completely animated except for Dev Patel.
Oh, goodness.
Gawain and the Green Knight. That's another good poem that I've read. Or I've read translations of it. Because there's, again, so much Arthur stuff. There's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of interesting stuff in the lore that you should check out. Holy Grail kind of uses none of it.
I figured.
And that's fine because it's funny on its own.
Yeah.
And honestly, Arthur mythos is great because it is so malleable that you can get... It's so malleable. We have two Arthur musicals, Camelot and Spamalot, and like both fit. It's fine.
Yeah.
No one's that mad about it. Nah. Some people do get, like, weirdly protective of the canon, and it's like, babes, there is no canon. It's lawlessness out here.
Bestie.
It's like everything. King Arthur was the original AO3.
You can't see because this is not a visual medium, but I just had a full body reaction to hearing AO3.
She really did. We're in the same room for once, because I'm visiting, and she looks so disappointed in me.
So on that note, my final thoughts of the movie is that I really enjoyed it, and I will probably watch it again. We'll probably watch more Monty Python things. What about you?
I really enjoyed coming back to this film. It's very funny. All the best bits that you remember are still great. And there's some other bits that I had forgotten that are also really, really fun. But yeah. I don't know, next time I will revisit this. Maybe next time I have some friends over. And we just need something to put on when we're very low on brain power. That sounds... That I think maybe was a reason I didn't enjoy this watch as much as I had in the past, as I was watching it for the podcast. Therefore, I had to have my brain on a little too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, on that note, I'm going to go shut off my brain. So I hope that everyone enjoyed this podcast. I hope that you tune in again next time for our next episode.
Be sure to subscribe, follow us on Twitter, leave us good reviews on iTunes. They really do help with getting noticed and building the podcast so we can make more stuff. And until next time, go brush up on your birds. What's the difference between an African and a European swallow? Come back to me. I want that paper on my desk on Monday.